Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading-edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. Next up, it's that intuitive healing mother and daughter team hailing from Winnipeg, Spiritual Connections with Kayla and Monique. Here they are to reintroduce themselves, their show, and what's up for today.
Hi, guys. This is Kayla and Monique from Spirit Connections and Healing. And this radio show, we're excited to talk about the different spiritual helpers that exist in our lives and in everyone's life. So by that, we mean these are some examples of some things that we're going to talk about today, is that we have our spirit guides, we have archangels, we have guardian angels, there are ascended masters, and basically we're just going to allow spirit to kind of guide us in what to talk about and what to expand on. But we do find that with a lot of clients, they're certainly very interested in communicating and finding out about their spirit guides. So I think we'll talk about our spirit guides first, and just a caveat that, of course, all of this information and the things that we're sharing is what we believe. Doesn't mean that you have to, but this is just our experience in our lives and with our clients.
Thank you, Kayla. So I guess the first thing that we should maybe talk about with the spirit guides is how to connect to them, because I think a lot of people are confused as to how you do that, if you need to do a specific thing. And honestly, I'll just talk about for me, when I really started connecting to my guides was when I got into meditating, because I was able to get to a place of inner peace and, you know, just that stillness that you get through meditation. And that is when I started and again, it's different for everyone, okay? So some people might start feeling some vibrations around them. Some people might see a color. You might hear something. So you might just know that they're there. So they really come through in all your different clairs, and everyone has a stronger clair than another, right, Kayla? So for me, they came through clairvoyantly, very strongly. You know, I started seeing shapes, and then I was able to see a little bit more of an outline as I progressed through my meditation. So for me, it was through meditation that I was actually able to connect with them, and my clairvoyance was able to pick that up. But I also am very strong in my clairaudience, so I was able to, or it could be claircognizance too, because I'm also strong in that sense. So there was just a knowing that they were there. It's just a knowing that they were around me. And it was you just know, because it's a very peaceful, loving feeling. That's the only way I can describe it.
And it usually feels very familiar and almost like a friend often.
Right.
I know that for me, the first time that I communicated with my spirit guide, or one of them, was actually when I was really young. I was 16 or 15, and I was getting my Reiki training from the first Reiki master that I worked with. And she actually led me through a guided meditation to meet my spirit guide. And I loved that, because she kind of guided me through this visualization where I was in a forest, and then I sat on a bench, and then my spirit guide came and met me. And that was awesome because you can have someone help you to access your spirit guide too, which is really cool because I was so young and I think probably at that point I had probably never even heard of a spirit guide, to be honest. I had most definitely heard of angels and guardian angel, but I wasn't familiar. So yeah, that first time that I met my spirit guide, I remember I was very surprised because my main spirit guide that's been with me my whole life is a male, which I probably wouldn't have imagined on my own.
Yeah, being 16,
exactly.
Right?
And his name is the weirdest name to me. His name is Bob. So
Bob the spirit
guide. And it doesn't fit him because he always wears like a white suit. He's very well put together and very kind of, yeah, he just aesthetically has a very like nice style, which is also funny. And then his name is Bob, even though he's not in his 50s or 60s. When he comes to me, he looks almost 30.
And
that is not
a name that you would pick yourself.
No,
Bob.
Definitely not. So, and honestly, I mean, Bob has been the one that's been with me since then. And he's the one that I know best by name. And like my mom was mentioning, we can kind of notice that our spirit guides are with us in different ways. And I really haven't accessed any other guides in the same clarity or same detail as Bob or depth. But I just know that I have others, but I can more just feel them. But I don't really focus on, like, what's your name, though I'm sure if I meditated on it or dug deep into it, I could probably access that, but I don't really feel a need. I know I have Bob, and then I know I have other guides that are specific to mediumship and to teaching and other things, which we will get into with you guys. But, yeah, so now when I do my Reiki training, I do that visualization with my clients or my students, and that's always a cool experience to share how they met their spirit guides.
Yeah, and that was a good point you brought up about different types of meditation, because it doesn't have to be within your own meditation, like sitting by yourself. It could be through a guided meditation that you might find on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guided meditations on YouTube, you know, meeting your spirit team, meeting your spirit guides. Or having somebody help you through it. So yeah, so there's different ways of doing meditations that will help you to connect with your spirit guides. And like Kayla mentioned, I know that a lot of people get stuck on the name. You know, they will say, well, I don't know what their name is. They haven't showed me their name. And honestly, guys, from what I believe, they don't really care what you call them. You know, sometimes you might actually get annoying of a name, but if you don't, it's okay. As long as you know they're around you, loving and protecting you and guiding you on your journey here, that's honestly all that's important.
Yeah, and like one of our teachers in the past, I know that for her, her guides always come through like on her, I forget if she said right or left side, but one of her sides.
Yeah,
and so
that's
when
a good
she
point.
Feels energy on her right side, will say that's her guides, and when she feels energy on her left side, those are spirits, because she's a medium coming through to communicate. So again, that's never been how I access my guides. I more see it clairvoyantly as well, or just the knowing, claircognizance. But she obviously feels it in a clairsentient way, where she can kind of feel that energy beside her, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is actually a good point to bring up as well, that you might be able to feel them either on the right or the left. You might feel them
behind,
in front of you, behind you, around you. You know, you might. I know I've read a book about a medium that actually knows when there are guides around him, because he can feel like a tingling in his hair.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his sign that his guides around him.
Yeah.
So everybody really has. The guides show you in different ways, and everybody's different. It depends on, you know, how
and
you
And really,
connect.
All you have to do is have the intention to connect with your guides and ask them. So they are always with you, and they're excited for you to make a more conscious connection with them. They're always there. They're always helping you and guiding you. But they do get excited to actually have a conscious connection with you. So by just saying, you know, spirit guide, whoever you are, spirit guides, whoever you are, please send me a sign that you're with me, or please show me who you are in some way. But again, the the key is to not have strict expectations,
right,
that, okay, a name's going to come through, or I'm going to see them, or whatever that might be, and to have patience, because time and space doesn't exist in the same way in the spirit world, but here on Earth, we have such strict time constraints, I know, for most of us, right? We want things to happen in our time, in our idea, but that's one of the huge lessons of spirit in general, whether it's our guides, our angels, is that we don't have that type of control, and that if we allow things to flow, then it's going to be a little bit more easy and peaceful for us. So
yeah, that's true.
Ask them.
Yeah, just simply asking them to show themselves, exactly. And again, it's good that you mentioned it's different for everyone, and to be patient, because I know I've heard from clients that I've had that, you know, I can't feel them, or I don't see them, or they're not coming to me, and I'm like, you know what, you just need to be patient, because like you said, if there's expectations, that can block.
And it's kind of similar to in readings when clients say, I haven't felt my loved one, I don't
exactly
feel my loved one,
mm-hmm,
where they're coming through and they're saying all these things and giving all these examples. And your spirit guides are with you all the time, just like your loved ones that have crossed. It's just that we aren't always consciously aware of their presence, and that's very important to remember. And if you're feeling frustrated or discouraged, just know that they are always with you. And there comes a level of trust, and once you start to, like Manik, my mom, mentioned, once you start to learn techniques to quiet your mind, to become more peaceful within, that's usually when we're going to have an increased awareness of their presence, because, I mean, it makes sense. If our mind is always racing, we're always go, 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 we're always busy in this physical world, it's going to be harder to recognize the ways in which they communicate, because, like everything with spirit, it's often very subtle. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes it can be more obvious, but spirit communicates with us very subtly, generally, just because of the vibrational difference between us here on Earth and them in spirit.
Exactly. So we usually, like, again, I mean, this is, like, I'll talk about for me, like, you know, like some people will question, you know, do we need to have one guide, two guides, three guides? I mean, for me, I have a couple of spiritual two or three spiritual or guides on my spirit team, I like to call them. But I think it looks different for everyone. Like, I don't feel that there's a specific amount of guides that you need to have or you need to feel. Again, that can block you. Just allow the guides to show themselves as they're meant to in your life. And you might have some that are there as a constant. You might have some that'll pop in and out. Like, I know I have a guide that kind of pops in and out, and according to your needs or what you're going through at that moment in your life.
Yeah, I've definitely learned, and also just through my experience, that all of us have at least one to two main spirit guides that are with us from the time of our birth until we cross over, that we have pre-contracted with, we've discussed, so to speak, in the spirit world before coming down, that they are going to be our guide throughout our lifetime. And then, like Manik said, we do have guides that can come in and out, and also that kind of specialize in different areas. So, you know, I'm a teacher in the traditional sense, as in I teach children in a school setting, and there are guides that are teacher guides that help teachers. There are guides that help dancers. There are guides that help chefs, whatever it might be. Like, there are different specialty guides according to what their strengths were when they were on Earth, which brings us to our next point, is that spirit guides, this is something that often people ask or might have some confusion about, which is totally normal, but spirit guides have had earthly lifetimes.
Yeah, because there is confusion with that, you know, I'm not going to get too much ahead, but they will wonder that about angels as well. But we're going to talk about that. But yeah, spirit guides definitely, well, we feel that spirit guides have had a human life prior, and that's how they can help us through what we're going through. Because they know what we've gone through. They know about emotions of being human. They know about the experiences and struggles of being human. So they really can guide us in a very, very optimal way.
It seems to be a common consensus among spiritual teachers that guides have most definitely had human lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And like my mom said, that's how they can work so closely with us. And it's like anything. Like, if we have a friend who's gone through what we've gone through, we feel super close to them. We have a kindred spirit feeling because we've had a shared experience. And that's most definitely what we have with our spirit guides. And it's kind of cool because often our spirit guides, we've shared many lifetimes with in other lifetimes, if that's what you believe. We both believe in reincarnation and having multiple lifetimes. And so it's kind of cool to think that, you know, Bob, my main spirit guide, could have been my brother in another earthly lifetime, or my father, or my sister, because gender, or I should say sex, you know, changes. It's a soul, and we choose that before we come down to earth. But that's the main difference between spirit guides and guardian angels, which we'll talk about after, is that spirit guides have had lifetimes on earth, whereas angels have not.
Exactly.
And I wanted to ask you, Monique, because you mentioned this, and I think that our listeners would benefit from hearing the difference or your experience. What's the difference for you when you say spirit guide versus spirit team?
Well, for me, a spirit guide is, I'm talking about one, like the spiritual helper, like the one that's been here on earth, typically what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But a spirit team is having different spiritual helpers around you, okay? So, meaning you could have perhaps an archangel as one of your helpers on your team. You could have some guides, and you could have perhaps...
Ascended masters,
exactly. So that's what I mean by a spirit team.
I just thought it would be good to clarify, because I don't think that's...
Yes.
A term that's heard quite as much, and basically it's kind of like your soul family. So we have a family on earth that is part of our life, and the spirit team is kind of like a soul family, but, you know, on earth we can't choose our family, we say, and sometimes it's not always the most functional relationships. Thankfully, I have a pretty good relationship with my family on earth, but the difference is that, like, your spirit team is of a higher consciousness, of higher vibration, so they're always going to be helpful because they have a higher vantage point, right? When we're here on Earth, it's harder for us to always recognize our lessons or what we need to do in the moment, whereas when we have our spirit team on the other side, they can guide us.
And another thing that I think we both believe, Kayla, is that your guides, your angels, whoever's on your spirit team, will not basically make decisions for you, because we have free will. They are there to guide us and support us and love us unconditionally, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are not meant to make decisions for us. So we can't think we're going to use our guides to help us through every decision in our life, although they might pull you in one direction or another. Ultimately, the final decision or choice for whatever it is that you were wanting to know about is your decision. So I know I've had my guides tell me, like, no, we're not helping you with this. You know, you're kind of on your own. You're on your own. Like, we're here to guide you. Because, you know, sometimes we want to know something and we want our guides to tell us. Again, they might nudge us in one direction or another. And sometimes they're just going to tell me, you have to figure this one out yourself. So it's really, for me, that's my experience with my guides. So they're not there to make decisions in my life. They're there to guide me and to support whatever it is that I'm meant to experience and the life lessons.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're wanting to empower you to step into your light and step into your power as a light worker, and that comprises of them not making decisions for you,
exactly,
but just encouraging you to trust your own ability to make decisions. So, but they most certainly can be very helpful, and they, you know, they definitely sometimes can give you specific direction even sometimes, and then
yeah,
other
and
times
it, and
it's not.
And it does happen, but other times I know for sure, like, I know when they're nudging me in one direction or another, but other times they're like, I don't feel anything, I'm not getting it. And it's like, nope, this is something you have to understand. So it could be something that I have to make a choice about, obviously myself, because there's a life lesson. I mean, there's a life lesson in everything, but then there's an important life lesson that will come from that choice. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just interesting how they will do that.
So in talking about specialty guides, it's kind of cool because if you're, say, working in a specific field, or you even have a hobby, or you're wanting to delve into something new, you can call on spirit guides who did that thing in their lifetime, and they are going to be so excited to help you. So if you're, say, wanting to do painting for the first time, you can say, you know, spirit guides of painting, please be close to me and help me and guide me and inspire me in this painting that I'm doing, or whatever it might be, because I always find that cool to realize that we do, you know, when we cross over, we have a higher vantage point, but we don't just lose completely our personality and our interests and all of those things. We still often maintain that, and so guides are excited to kind of come back down to earth, so to speak, to help us and to kind of have that experience again with us from where they are. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, Kayla, earlier, that our guides can also be our loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at one point you had felt that my mom, who was also
a spirit guide for sure,
is one of your spirit guides.
She
and
is,
it's
yeah.
not surprising, because my mother is, Kayla is so similar to my mom. My mom was a teacher. I mean, I've always told you that.
Mm-hmm.
You're so similar to my mom. In many, many ways. So it's really interesting how, you know, now from the other side, her grandmother is there supporting, loving, and guiding her. And it's a nice feeling to know that, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? You know, that your loved ones can be your guides, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, and they're just words, so it really doesn't matter. But just for clarity's sake, and because that's our topic today, when people say, like, oh, like, my grandma is my guardian angel, it's such a nice kind of view to think of them as an angel. But in reality, they're our spirit guide, not our guardian angel, because angels have not had a lifetime on Earth, whereas a grandma would have. So, again, it doesn't matter, because it's just a word and it's just the energy. But just because that's our topic, we thought we would clarify what we've learned about that. So, yeah, my mamaya, my grandma, is a spirit guide because she has lived on Earth and now she is guiding me joyfully from the other side.
And that's a good point that you bring up about terms and labels. Like,
yeah.
it doesn't matter. Like, if you know that you're, let's say, your grandmother that you were very close to on Earth, or it could even be somebody that you know, still a loved one that you might not have really known that well. I mean, I know that my grandmother, my mom's mom, is my spirit guide, and I did not know her. She died when I was 6, so it's really interesting how that can happen.
Definitely,
like Kayla said, it's not about labeling. It's about if you feel them around you, if you feel that unconditional love, and you will, and that guidance and support, that's what matters.
And if you want to call a spirit guide an angel, go for it.
Exactly.
It really doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter, exactly.
But, it's interesting to bring up that often, or sometimes, spirit guides can be loved ones that we didn't know that well, or that might be a few generations down that we, of course, didn't meet because we didn't share a lifetime, technically, but they're our ancestor, like a great-great-grandmother, for example. And, I mean, that's because, again, time and space doesn't exist in the same way, and they do know us. They know our souls, and you have to remember that just because we didn't share a lot of years or feel a closeness in this Earth lifetime doesn't mean that we didn't share many other lifetimes with them where we were very close to them. So often our spirit guides are those people, those souls that we have had as part of our soul family on Earth multiple times.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like you said, we believe in reincarnation, and we do believe that, you know, there are soul families that follow follow themselves or each other through different lifetimes. That could be a different topic for a different day, reincarnation, actually, Kayla. That just came
from... Yeah, it's a very interesting
topic. It's a
topic.
Really interesting topic. But we'll stick with the guides and the angels today. So,
yeah, now we're going to talk about angels. So first we're going to talk about the difference between guardian angels and archangels. And from what I feel and know, guardian angel is like your personal angel on earth, or guiding you while you're on earth. So similar to a spirit guide, except the main difference is that an angel has not lived a lifetime on earth, but they're still very, very connected specifically to you. So everyone has at least one guardian angel, just like spirit guides, who are with us from the time of our birth all the way until we cross, and that would be the angel that is with us all the time. But the thing is that with our angels, whether it's our guardian angel or whether it's our archangel, and except for in some exceptional circumstances, because this does happen sometimes, but usually they're not going to intervene unless you ask their assistance. So again, they're very concerned with free will and with our ability to choose and make choices in this lifetime. Though you do hear of exceptional circumstances where someone, you know, didn't ask for an angel's help and they have an angel come to them, or they have an archangel intervene, and sometimes it's in situations like an accident, a car accident, and they might all of a sudden see their angel, or they might have an angel show up and, you know, pull them out of, say, a fire, and then, you know, you say, oh, where's that lady who had the glasses and the blonde hair, and they're like, oh, no one was here. So there definitely are exceptional cases, and I mean, that would be something that, I mean, I believe that likely before you came to Earth, you had an agreement that, you know, you were going to do a certain thing in your lifetime. So if, say, you have an accident before you did that, then you might have an angel intervene. But I mean, these are kind of specifics and just kind of my thoughts on it. But yeah, so guardian angels basically are personal angel, whereas archangels are here really to serve all of humanity. And also they are kind of like the bosses of the guardian angels, not the boss, but I like to use like human terms, but they do guide the guardian angels as well.
Yeah, so there are different archangels. So we'll start with Michael, because honestly, Michael is the one that I connect with the most. I feel he's on my spirit team, and he's the one, like, okay, so Archangel Michael is the big protector. He is the angel of protection, the angel of boundaries, the angel of clearing. So clearing energy that doesn't serve you, truth and justice. So he's a very powerful archangel. And I've read many times that he is kind of the leader of the archangels. Now, whether that, you know, it doesn't really matter, but he is just a very powerful archangel. So, and I've always connected to Michael, like, on my spiritual team, I will always, always call upon Archangel Michael if I'm clearing my energy, if I'm saging, if I want to put a bubble of white protective light around me. I'm always calling him in for protection when I want to, you know, protect my energy. So, and I just have a connection with Michael, and I think everybody will have a connection possibly with a different archangel, or with their own archangels that they feel connected with. It might be Raphael, it might be Gabriel, for instance. But for me, Michael definitely is my to-go angel, I call him. He's my
go-to.
Go-to, that's it. I knew I was saying that wrong.
Yeah.
My go-to angel or archangel.
Archangel Michael is probably one of the ones that people have heard about the most. I mean, I know that he's talked about a lot in the Bible as well. I don't know much about the Bible, but I do know that. As well as Archangel Gabriel, because I believe Gabriel was involved with the birth of Jesus. Anyways, I'm kind of going on a tangent, but I'm just mentioning the ones that are heard most in religions, and also maybe in pop culture, right? Because in movies, sometimes or in songs, we have different, you know, interpretations of angels, and often these are some of the angels that are talked about the most in pop culture as well, which means that, you know, society is more aware, I guess, of them, their presence in general. So, yeah, Archangel Michael is definitely a very strong angel. I'm all fire signs astrologically, so I'm a Sagittarius sun, a Leo moon, and a Leo ascending or rising. And if that means nothing to you or it's gibberish, don't worry about it. But I'm very interested in astrology. So Archangel Michael is the archangel, or it's said that he's the archangel of fire signs. So he definitely is close to me as well. And like my mom mentioned, I use him all the time in protection or in clearing, cutting cords, I think, which we've talked about before. But basically cutting cords is, in case you haven't heard of it, is when you can call on Archangel Michael to help you disconnect from whether it's people, places, energies, things that do not serve you. He's very powerful with that. So it's very cool. And Michael is very concerned with personal boundaries and energetic boundaries. So
yeah, and that's a good point that you bring up about him cutting energy cords, because that's actually something I do after every session with a client. I'll ask Archangel Michael, and it's just an example of how you could use them, but if you're a light worker, but I always ask him to cut the energy cords connected to me and, you know, the person I was reading with and their loved ones. And I just, as soon as he's done, I can feel it. Like, there's, like, it's almost like there's a, I can feel the disconnect. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's really cool. So, yeah, so that's a good point about the energy cords. Yeah.
Yeah, and so the angels that I tend to work with most are Michael and Raphael. So Archangel Raphael is the archangel of healing. So because I do practice healing arts, Reiki, Theta healing, I often call an archangel, well, I always do, I always call an Archangel Raphael to assist in my healing sessions. But even just personally, I'm always calling on Archangel Raphael because, I mean, part of my journey is that I've had such a fascination and sometimes fear in the past of my body and the physical aspect of myself. So I find Archangel Raphael very comforting to call in his or her emerald green healing light to come into my body and to heal me. And I do that every night for me and my baby, my son. Whenever I'm rocking him, I always call on Archangel Raphael to bring in that healing light of wholeness and health and wellness and just allow it to infuse into my body. So,
yeah, that's, you know, that's, it's true. Like Archangel Raphael, he's also the second archangel that I call upon. And yeah, if I feel I need any type of healing, or if I feel that even one of my loved ones needs any type of healing, I will ask Archangel Raphael to be around that specific person to send them healing light. Because I feel that you can ask the archangels to assist you in assisting someone else, and they will, because they can be in multiple places at once, archangels. And I don't know, I have done very powerful guided meditations with Archangel Raphael. Like, I'll just put on, this is just my own experience, but I've put on, like, a YouTube guided meditation with Archangel Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when there's somebody else guiding you through it, and the music is beautiful, and you can just get so deep in these types of meditations. And I have felt him around me in those types of meditations, like, very strongly, and it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, I love Archangel Raphael.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all amazing. And then I'm talking mainly about the four main ones that you hear about, which is Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, and Uriel. Now, Gabriel is, I always thought of Archangel Gabriel, and I often use the pronoun she only because she's quite a nurturing energy. And I mean, I don't really know that angels have genders, or I should say they're not human, so I don't think it's necessarily the same, but I say she because that resonates for me, and because Archangel Gabriel is very nurturing and often helps children and helps with pregnancy, conception, and birth, which I love as a new mother and someone who is a teacher and works with children all the time. She's most definitely very powerful in helping even very sensitive children, sensitive empaths, which we've talked about previously. she is the one that you would call upon to help you with that. And so even if you, say, have a sensitive child in your life, or it's a niece or a friend's child, you can call upon Archangel Gabriel to help you with that and to help you to know how you can best guide this child. And I just have a personal experience with Archangel Gabriel, which is kind of cool, because though I peripherally knew that Archangel Gabriel was in charge of, you know, kind of, not in charge, but helps a lot women and children, I didn't really ever, like, connect to her consciously in that way. But I was once in a meditative state, and all of a sudden I became aware that Archangel Gabriel was in front of me, or with me in my third eye. I could see her. And all of a sudden she said, and it was so weird to me because I was like, what is she talking about? She was like, she said, you will be a mother to millions. And, you know, my first thought is, well, I'm not having a million children, so I don't know what she's talking about. But I just kind of thought, okay, obviously it doesn't mean you're going to have a million of your own children, though I knew at that point I wanted to be a mother to, you know, two, maximum three children, ideally. But she said that, and I kind of just thought, huh, okay, that's interesting, because, A, I don't ever consciously really connect to her, and that message seems
weird. It's just random.
Like, what does that mean? I have no idea. Even the language, mother to millions, like, I would never talk like that. So anyways, I thought it was cool, but I just, like, held on to it. And then the next day, my friend just texted me a picture of a plant that she bought, and she's like, hey, look at this cool plant I got. It's called Mother of Millions. And so
that was just crazy.
Like, of course, I had shivers, and I was like, okay, so clearly I wasn't imagining that, and there's some sort of message here, and I don't need to know what it means now. I still don't know what it means, but maybe one day I will. And so it's just so cool to have those experiences with an angel or a guide or whatever, and then to have a sign, a very clear confirming sign. Like, I didn't know there was a plant called Mother of Millions.
What,
like,
are the chances of that?
And it's, that can't just be coincidence. Like, these are things that you just can't make up, and that is so cool and inspiring. And it does encourage you to keep working with your guides and angels when you have such a clear sign. Though, keep in mind that if you don't have a clear sign like that, it's okay too. So the next archangel is Archangel Uriel, which is the archangel of wisdom and illumination, and helping humanity to kind of become more enlightened in consciousness, which is really cool. And I think that that's important to mention, because it's definitely a good idea to call upon Archangel Uriel, especially during these times when there's so much seeming chaos in the physical world, that you can call on Archangel Uriel to just help us to have wisdom and to continue to ascend in our consciousness. And so Archangel Uriel is most definitely here with us as well.
So the next Archangel that we're going to talk about is Archangel Azrael. And he is the angel that helps with mediumship and with loved ones crossing over, which is very interesting. Because when I started my journey, when I started discovering I was a medium, he was on my spiritual team. And the name just came to me one day when I was meditating, Azrael. And I had no idea that the only archangel I'm really familiar with is Raphael and Michael. So I looked, and I was just starting to open up my mediumship at that point. And I looked up the meaning or the role of Archangel Azrael, and it was the archangel of mediumship and connecting people or helping people crossing over. So that was confirmation to me. I didn't even know there was an Archangel Azrael, like that exact name. So it was really interesting. So that was big confirmation for me that, you know, that he was definitely there to help support me and through my mediumship journey. So it was nice to have him on my team as I started off as a medium, knowing he was there guiding and supporting me. And honestly, I do feel that he helped me to really get into my confidence as a medium, and to know that he also helped with the connections. So he also helped me with, like, maintaining the connections, because at first as a medium, I'm kind of going off topic here, but at first as a medium, holding that link and holding that connection can be difficult because, mm-hmm. you know, you're in your ego mind, you're in your head too much at the start. So he would help me with connecting. That's just how he specifically helped with me, or one of the examples. He would help me to get my link a little bit stronger, mm-hmm. to strengthen my link, basically, which was really interesting. And it really did help. Like, when I felt him around me, I could feel that the link would get stronger as the communication came through. And I'm sure he helped in other ways, but that's just something I specifically remember him as, mm-hmm. one of my, as the archangel of helping me on my mediumship journey.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember, like, I really thought it was just the four archangels, and I think there's 12 main archangels.
There's quite a few of them.
I don't quote me, I could be mistaken, I'm not an expert, but I believe there's 12, and they all end mainly in the sound Eel, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Azrael, and there are other ones too, so if you're interested in that, there's many books about that, and even just looking online, but I know there's Archangel Haniel, there's Archangel Ariel, there's one called Seraphim or Serafina.
Yes, right.
So, you know, and they are all, and as we're recording this, we just see a hummingbird right now that came in, and that's definitely a sign of spirit. For me, that means fearlessness, so just thought we'd mention that we're getting spirit signs even as we record this session, so that's pretty cool. So now, next, we're going to talk about other beings that are often on our spirit team assisting us from the other side, which are ascended masters. So what do you believe, Manik, Mom, about ascended masters? What are they, and how have you interacted with ascended masters?
Well, ascended masters are, if I'm not mistaken, or from what I believe, that they have lived on Earth,
mm-hmm.
they have had a life on Earth, but they had a very high vibration, I'm going to say, to begin with. Like, their ascension was very, very quick on Earth and was very rapid. So they were able to ascend just very quickly. So one example of an ascended master.
They basically were enlightened beings. So
exactly.
They
enlightened beings.
Kind of reached our goal.
So exactly. So when I think of an ascended master, I mean, obviously there's the ones that we are familiar with, Jesus, Buddha, Mary,
Lao Tzu.
But another one that I think of and that I feel is an ascended master on the other side is like Mother Teresa. I absolutely mm-hmm. do feel that she is also an ascended master on the other side. That's just my own, you know, beliefs, but she...
Many of the saints, many of,
yes,
you know...
exactly.
Poets, even.
Right, so it's just people that were, I'm going to say, selfless their whole life. Like,
well, and it doesn't necessarily mean their whole life, but they got to that point within this lifetime,
and
right?
Very quickly. So what I mean by they ascended very quickly is that it in this lifetime they ascended very quickly. So that, you know, it could have been a slow go to start off with in their life, possibly, but by the end of their life they had ascended to a very, very high vibration and had become enlightened beings, like Kayla said.
Yeah, and I mean, ascended masters are really the same as us, because we all have that potential. And that was really the message of all the ascended masters. I mean, Jesus, for example, said, "What I do, you will do and more." And there are so many examples of, regardless of which ascended master it was, of them telling us and showing us the way, but never putting themselves on a pedestal. And, you know, unfortunately, well, it's my belief that it's unfortunate that we have created this, you know, religions out of these people often that puts them so above us, when really I believe that their message was that you are like me and you have this potential within. So I think it's really important to remember that, is that these beings who were humans at one point are now on the other side, and they're guiding us, but they're here to be our brother or a sister or a friend, our guide, our mentor even, but that they're not better, they're not higher, they're not anything different from us. The only difference is that they've just reached that cycle in their consciousness at a different time from us, because I truly believe that all of us are going to reach that, and it's just a matter of when. And again, a reminder is that we are already there. In our time and space consciousness, we haven't reached enlightenment, but the truth of who we are can never change. It's unchangeable, and we have already arrived, so to speak. We have never left our source. We are still connected and one with our divine creator, and we are simply working on remembering and coming back to awareness of that connection, and then living in that space consistently. Because that's the difference between ascended masters and, you know, say me, is that I might go in and out of that state of being a lot more often, because I haven't reached a space of consistently being in that higher vibration, whereas ascended masters have consistently lived in that space, which is just such a beautiful example. But again, I just want everyone to remember that it's within all of us to do that. And that is kind of why I feel and I say that all paths lead home, because whether you're following a religion or you're just engaging in spirituality or you're not doing any of that and you're connecting to nature, it doesn't matter, because each path and each way home is going to be different and unique for all of us, but we all have that within us. And another point that I wanted to make is that I do really feel that more and more people in this time, in this age, are going to reach the level of ascended master, quote unquote, of enlightenment during their lifetime. Because I do feel that this is a time in consciousness where we are finally ready. We have raised the vibrations enough. And I mean, that's why there's a lot of chaos, because we are cleansing the systems that don't work. So we know that there are systems, economic, political, school systems, educational, all of these systems don't work for everyone. It works for one certain group of people, but certainly not for oppressed groups, for people of color, for people that are different, LGBTQ. I mean, I'm kind of going off on a tangent now, but I just do think it's salient and relevant to what's happening in our world right now, because we are here as light workers to bring these things to awareness. And without there being the chaos of recognizing and going through the growing pains and really looking at the things that aren't working, we can't get to a higher space and a higher consciousness.
Well, I think this ends our discussion or topic about guardian angels, angels, spirit team, spirit guides, and all of those different spiritual helpers. So, you know, today we just simply talked about what we believe and what we've read, what we've understood, what we've learned ourselves personally as well. So, again, this is going to look different for everyone. You know, your spirit team or your guides are going to be different for everyone. And, again, there's no right or wrong way. You know, I think it's important to voice that again. It's simply who and which energy resonates for you. Kayla, do you have any final words about spiritual helpers?
Just that, again, all you need to do is just ask to be brought to awareness of how these beings show up in your life. And something that I wanted to mention earlier is that, you know, there can be different signs. You know, for example, like I know when my spirit guides and my guardian angels are close, I often see like numbers, which I know we've talked about in the past, but 444 for me is meaning that my angels are close, and then 333 for me is a connection with the ascended masters. So it's just kind of cool, because I feel like usually when I need it or I need to be reminded that I have helpers, that I can call on them, that I can communicate with them, that I can feel their energy, is when I receive those signs. So just be patient, and just know that even if you up to now have not, you know, formally felt or seen their presence does not mean that they're not with you, because they have been with you, in fact, your whole entire life for the most part, and they're always going to be there for you. So they're a source of support that you can always call upon, which is just so encouraging, because, you know, sometimes we can feel alone, or, you know, especially in times like this, we can feel discouraged and just feel misunderstood. And, you know, even during quarantine, you know, physically a lot of us were alone, and that felt isolating. And that's where connecting to these beings that are not on the physical plane, but that are so close to us, they're just a difference in vibration, can be so encouraging and reassuring, because we are being supported. And that's one of their main messages, is that they're just here with us and they want to help us in our lifetime.
So thank you everyone for listening to us today on our conversation about spiritual helpers. We hope that helps you to have more of an awareness of them in your life. And if any of you would, you know, would want to connect with us on a more personal basis, we have a website. It is www.spiritconnectionsandhealing.com. Our Facebook page is under our business name, Spirit Connections and Healing. And we are also on Instagram, at Spirit Connections and Healing. So thank you everyone for listening to us today. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you.